Hey everybody, JJ Cooper, Jeff Ponce, Baseball America Prospect Podcast. We're back together and we got something a little different this week. We're going to have a little fun this week. So we are in, I was talking to Ian Kundle and the staff earlier today. We were talking about prospects and all and how, Jeff, before we get into this, I'll kind of throw this to you as well. We're in that nether world right now where everything is interesting. And everything is prone to overreaction on the prospect side because the difference between what is significant and what is a hot start or a cold start or a good outing or a bad one or whatever, and it can change right now literally in the span of a day, makes this a tricky time. I don't think on the podcast it makes sense for us to say, hey, let's go through. Kate Anderson had a great start this week. So what does that mean for Kate Anderson versus Ryan Sloan as far as the best Mariners pitching prospect game or anything like that? And especially when you get to hitters. So we're going to do something a little different, but like, how do you, before we do, like, as you're watching games and all, like, what are you looking for right now? And how do you kind of temper your excitement, your concern, your views on all this?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially when it comes to hitting prospects, we've talked about this before. But I think, you know, as you start to look at the beginning of the season, you're maybe looking for things that are maybe more like old school kind of scouty. Because I just feel like the sample at this point, it's not standardized anywhere. Even AAA, we're maybe getting a little bit closer to some of the EV data and stuff like that, and maybe getting a little closer to there being a little bit more signal, like in your swing rates, contact, that sort of thing. But I think I'm looking for quality of at-bats, guys that are maybe moving a little better, moving a little worse in terms of swings, because we certainly do see some guys, especially guys coming off of injuries.
I know. Okay. You know, let's be clear before we're talking about Bryce Rainer.
Yeah, I mean, he did have an insane homer the other night that was like 460 or something at 116. So,
but the swing right now does not look as fluid as it did last year.
No, and I think that's something to look for. Maybe adjustments in terms of the setup, the timing mechanism, whether it's a adjusted leg kick, it's bigger, it's smaller, guy moves to a toe tap, all that sort of stuff, I think is relevant. But also, especially with younger prospects, because for me, I often feel like we have a pretty good fingerprint when a player gets to AA or AAA. And it's not the high-end guys. It's not the top 100, especially the top 60 or 70. Most of those guys, it's kind of like sink or swim when they get to the upper minors, right? Is this going to work? Is there maybe some question mark in terms of the contact rate, whatever it is, that's going to, you know, bottom out and he's going to get exposed and he's going to have to adjust. And then we have to adjust our ranking. You know, I think the biggest thing is looking at these A ball guys that are maybe in their first full season assignment, high A guys that are younger, and seeing if they're doing the things that we maybe had concerns about. Like, all right, like, can Justin Gonzalez pull the ball in the air? We know he can hit it hard. You know, we know he can make contact. Can he pull the ball in the air without sacrificing too much of that contact?
Survey so far says yes.
Yes, that's something that I'm looking at. I think that's something you can take away and be like, all right, this is something I'm going to track throughout the season and see if this regresses or not. Early signal on that one in particular has been pretty good. But I think those are the kind of things, just to use an example, that I'm really looking for. I'm really looking for improvements in certain skills, question marks that we had, growth from year to year. What position is a guy playing? Sometimes guys learn new positions, try new positions. And I think, you know, we have a ton of draftees, a lot of talented high school players from last year's class that have debuted in full season in a real way with a full off season. I think some of that is interesting to see, because I think that's when players can make the biggest jumps. When a guy can go from a third round pick to a player that's like, whoa, this guy might be, you know, a top 100 prospect. Perfect example is Daniel Pierce from the Rays that I know Josh saw this weekend and had a phenomenal week, I think was on the hot sheet as well. That's the type of guy where it's like, okay, you know, my ears are pointing up, I'm focused. Daniel Pierce is someone I'm going to be checking every night, mm-hmm. tuning into games, seeing how the glove looks, you know, how the bat looks. And of course we have scout friends all throughout the industry that see these guys in different weeks. So were maybe talking to this scout or this scout from this team or that team and saying, hey, how did Pierce look this week? How did Pierce look that week? And kind of pulling all that information together. And then sometime maybe later this month, early in May, we'll probably get, you know, some more data to actually dive into and get a better understanding of some of the under the hood skills as well. But at this point, I'm trying to ignore that stuff. I'm more looking at, you know, how does a player look? Are they doing some of these things differently? Is it showing up in more like the surface level fan graphs kind of stats that I can pull? I think all that stuff is important. So that's kind of where I'm looking with hitters. With pitchers, we've talked about this. I think it standardizes within a start. So you get a pretty good
Valera,
quickly.
Juan Valera has taken a step forward. He's thrown 102. We hadn't seen that before. So, you know. So what we're going to do today, we're doing a pair of drafts, right? So we're going to do a draft of only rookies, players who came into the year prospect eligible, but have played in the big leagues this year. We are recording this. If you see me every now and then look off, we are recording this on Tuesday night. It's going up on Wednesday morning, but recording this on Tuesday night. So Noah Schultz eligible for this list because Noah Schultz made his debut tonight. But if you have not, you are not eligible. And if you played in the majors last year, Jonah Tong, not eligible for this. He played the majors last year. It's not this year, still prospect eligible, not eligible for this. So we're going to do that. Then we're going to do a prospect draft. But right now, the rules of the rookie draft are pretty straightforward. We're going to go back and forth. Jeff, I think we'll let Jeff's pick first in this one, and we'll snake draft it. So I'll pick two picks, then Jeff pick one pick, and we'll go back and forth. One player per org per team, right? So I get to pick one Pirate, and you get to pick one Pirate. But whichever one of us takes Connor Griffin can't take Bubba Chandler. The other one gets Bubba Chandler, and you can probably wait to take Bubba Chandler then because you know you're not going to have to take him. Two corner outfielders, one center. On the rookie draft, that's not going to make a whole lot of difference. Most of these guys have played both. Three starting pitchers, one reliever. Must have played the position. So we'll give a little bit of we'll be a little bit of leeway on this. If you want to try to cram Sal Stewart to third base, feel free. He did play that in the major leagues. Maybe not this year, but the key thing also is has played in majors this year. So I'm going to have a little running tally on this. So that if you're on the YouTube, you can see this on our YouTube channel. But if not, I'll keep repeating it as we go through it too. So Jeff, you get the first pick. And I should say, we are trying to do this. If we, 10 years from now, I don't even want to think of how old I'll be, but 10 years from now, we decide that we're going to do a look back at this. You want your team to look the best, not to have had the best 2026, but to have had the best decade of production. So we're not looking, I'm sorry, you can take Foster Griffin if you want, but you're not going to get as much runway from Foster Griffin as you are from Bubba Chandler, that kind of thing. So Jeff, you get the first pick. Who are you taking 1-1?
I'm going to make it easy. I'm going to take Connor Griffin 1-1. Fill that shortstop spot. I am not too concerned about the first 10 games of his career when he's running a sub 230 batting average on balls in play. We know the kind of defender he can be. We know the kind of hitter he is. It's going to click. And just like it is with a lot of these guys, remember Roman Anthony started a little slow too. Alex Bregman, another guy I always remember, started a little slow. Mike Trout started a little slow to his pro career. I think it's going to turn around in a big way, and it's going to be really, really loud. And that could be within the next week or two. So I thought about Kevin McGonigal for a split second, but I'm going to take Connor Griffin.
Well, you're going to take Connor Griffin. You know who I'm going to take next. So I'm taking Kevin McGonigal, and I am going to play him at third base, which is, I think, a little bit tougher to fill this year than shortstop. So I'll put him at third, and I get to go again. And so I'm actually going to fill my second base spot as well. Actually, no, I'm going to leave that one for you. I'm going to go Nolan McLain. And I think while there are good pitchers out there, I think that the potential difference between him and the next best pitcher is maybe a little bit more. I think I have a couple more options out there. So that's the way I'll go on. So it's back to you.
I'm going to keep it simple again. I'm going to take JJ Weatherholt, fill my second base spot. He's been phenomenal in the field.
He's homered tonight. While Wells
well, there you go. That's going to help us a little bit as well. It'll help me a little bit as well. But I think you look at the underlying skills. This is something that, speaking of another rookie that maybe underperformed a little bit in his first taste of the big leagues, was Kyle Tucker. And I can always remember saying to like some of my friends, people in fantasy leagues, like, still go and get Kyle Tucker. Look at the underlying skills, low swing strike rate. Not a guy that's going to be chasing a whole lot. You know, it's a 21.3% O swing. He's swinging in zone at a nearly 70% rate. The zone contact is high. Overall contact's a little lower than what I would have expected with Weatherholt, but still not bad. And he's been really good in the field. So I believe in the player. I think this is another guy at the end of the season. The number's going to look pretty good.
You get to go again. Snake draft.
All right. So now I get to double up again. And, ooh. I have to go with my guy here, JJ. I've thought about some other players. I got to go with Chase DeLauter. I don't want to run the risk of not getting Chase DeLauter. Obviously started phenomenally. The big question with him is whether he stays healthy or not. One of my favorite hitters, a guy that, you know, there's certain guys like I'm not someone that's at amateur events when these kids are 15, like Ben Badler. Ben Badler can say that he found a player. DeLauter's the closest thing I think I have to that, because there was not a whole lot known about him prior to that Cape season. And I saw his first game in the Cape, and I think I saw him play 21 times. It was phenomenal. One of the best Cape seasons I've ever seen. And I think it was more exciting because, you know, this wasn't like a borderline USA guy or a USA guy that you saw in the Cape and were like, oh yeah, like, you know, whoever, Travis Bazzana is really good. Like we knew that, right? This was a guy that you know, kind of popped for me. So there's an emotional attachment there. And maybe there might've been better picks, but I'm going to go with DeLauter and, you know, pack those five homers into my lineup.
I think that's a very good pick. You know, the only thing I have, we know the words, the worries right there are, it's like, how is his feet today? How are his feet today? And so far, so good. I'm going to do something pretty that may seem strange here, but there's something tactical and strategic to it. So I'm going to take Carter Jensen at catcher. And then I'm going to take Samuel Basayo. And I'm going to put him for now at DH. And again, we can move this around. So, but I think there were two catchers who were at a different level on this board. And so I'm going to try to take both of them. And Basayo obviously is like, you know, he's going to get a little bit more runtime here with Rutschman on the IL. But Jensen, I feel like we've seen the power already. You know, there's still a little bit of catching's hard, but I think that we're seeing from Jensen already, this is a guy who can be an impact bat for the Royals. I think Basayo has shown also, like, he had a monster homer recently, like, that he can be an impact bat. And also, much like you've got the advantage of, you have Connor Griffin, like, Jordan Walker, what Jordan Walker's showing us this year is a great reminder of, hey, when a guy comes up exceptionally young, even if the adjustment period takes a while, the underlying talent, when you're that young, does mean that you have a chance to kind of still really kind of emerge. So I feel like with Basayo, that is an exceptionally young big bat that also can catch. So that's my back-to-back picks. And then it's back to you for two picks.
Well, the first pick I'm going to make is the best rookie pitcher to date over the first few weeks of the season. That's Andrew Painter. It's been great to see him kind of take that step forward. I think it was easy to kind of write him off when we looked at his first year after being down for 2 years, coming back from that arm injury, of course, you know, had Tommy John surgery and then had to go through the recovery of all that. The stuff has looked really crisp. I think the fastball command and locations have looked better. And ultimately, I think that was a lot of his struggles in AAA last year were just kind of the fastball locations. The secondary stuff always looked phenomenal. I can remember sitting there last year in Worcester, seeing an Andrew Painter start sitting next to Ian long before he was a BA employee. And we were just so impressed with the secondary stuff. And it was like, yeah, like when I saw him in AA, when I saw him in the Arizona Fall League, it was more fastball heavy. He really got into his bag of using all of his breaking ball shapes, his changeup. It's good secondary stuff. All right, I'm going to break your heart a little bit here, JJ. I'm going to fill my first base position with Sal Stewart. He has been the best rookie hitter to date.
Homered again tonight also.
So that's five. He's now tied Chase DeLauder for the rookie lead in home runs. And coming into the night, had a 178 WRC plus. Phenomenal start to the season as he hit 309, 435, 600. Those numbers are only going to go up after this evening. So Sal Stewart's an easy one. Plug him in at first base. You know, I'll worry about the defense later. I think I have, an excellent, group here in terms of the hitters so far. And I like the way my team's starting to look, JJ.
It's a good team so far. I still think I've got a pretty good chance here, though, as well. And I'm sorry, I'm having to clean up. I put this wrong one first. So now I've fixed that as far as the naming at the bottom of it. Okay. So if I'm sitting here and I've got to put Sal Stewart in for you, and I was a little worried you were going to do that. And you notice I did say that I was putting Basayo at DH for now, because I knew that there was a pretty good chance that you might take Stewart. And if you took Stewart, I kind of felt like, okay, then I'm going to need to maybe adjust. And I think I'm going to do that at some point. But so I'm going to go. I'm going to be strategic about this as well. I'm going to go Connelly early, not because I think that he's going to be the best remaining pitcher on the board, but because I don't have to take Bubba Chandler now. I can make that my last pick. You can't pick a pirate. So I'm good there. So I'm going to kind of let that one hang out for a little while. So that's one pick for me. And then I'm also going to take, actually, I'm going to move McGonagall to short. And I'm going to take Kyle Freeland. I'm going to take Alex Freeland.
Kyle would have been interesting.
Yeah, no, I don't want Kyle. No offense to Kyle, but no. But I'll take Alex Freeland. So I'm going to put him at, again, I think third, second. He'll go at third for now, but he can play pretty much anywhere around the infield. So that puts it back to you. Obviously, with Freeland, we are seeing him get a little bit more run now, I think, with Mookie Betts being out. But
But and I
like my pitching staff so far, and I think it's going to only get better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to be strategic. You can't take Carson Benj. So
no, I can't. So you don't need to take him yet.
So I'm going to sit on that one. My first pick here, I'm going to fill my third base spot, JJ. And I'm going to take Minnetonka Murakami. Has actually outperformed, though not by much, has outperformed Akimoto to date, which is a little bit of a surprise. But I still like the power, four home runs. He's walking at a 20% rate. It's a little Kyle Schwarber-ish. He's not quite at that level, but it's like that bucket of player. It's just he's, more like the Timu version of him right now. But I think he could grow into, maybe a little bit more contact. Strikeout rate is kind of around where I thought it would be. So not a great defender, but I guess I could plug him in at third. So I'm going
to
do that.
I was going to say, I'm just checking to make sure he has played there this year, right?
I believe that he has. I can double check right now.
I'm checking right now. He is listed as a third, so I think you're good there. Yeah. No, he is not. He has only played first base.
Ooh. All right. Well, then I'm going to have to put him in at DH then, JJ.
Actually, you can actually flip it. You can put Sal Stewart at third if you wanted, because he did play third in the majors. You're going to put him at DH for now?
You know what? Let's put him at DH for now, and I have that flexibility. I have that flexibility. I can move it around if I see fit. The next guy that I'm going to grab here is Moises Ballesteros.
I thought about taking him and basically just trying to take all the catchers from
all the catchers. So he has played catcher one game for two innings in the big leagues this year, and did play, I think, six innings last year. So I'm going to plug him in at catcher, though I don't know how much he catches.
I'm going to enjoy watching your pitching staff throw to Moises Ballesteros.
We'll see, Luckily, okay. They're real-life catchers. Will never actually be Moises Ballesteros.
Okay, so this is now, this is to me, this is where this starts to get interesting, right? Is there's only a limited group. I think we counted, I think 40, was it 41 bookies, pit hitters? 31? 30, maybe it was, I think
32,
it was
41. 32.
32, okay. So I need a first baseman, I need a second baseman, and then I need a whole lot of outfielders, and then I need pitchers. I'm looking at this, and again, I can't take Carson Bench, and I can't take Dylan Beavers. So your outfield, you're going to have some nice guys to take that have been blocked for me, which, to be honest, is going to make my outfield a little bit rougher. So I think that's where, I also know that you've got guys like, you probably aren't going to take all the guys I want because you only have so many outfield spots. But
yes.
I'm going to go to at least get one on the board before I lose, you know, some of these. I'm going to take Owen Casey. And I'm going to get him kind of cleared off for now. So that gives me an outfield spot. So I don't feel as bad about that. I'm not really as worried about first base, not because there's a lot of great choices there, but when you have Sal Stewart and Murakami, I don't think that you're going to be necessarily looking a whole lot there anytime soon. So the TJ Rumfield is still sitting there if I want him, you know, the Rockies stalwart. So I will, but also again, the thing that's great about this is you got to be clever about this also as far as not blocking yourself from taking other guys. So I haven't taken a White Sox, and Noah Schultz came up today. So Noah Schultz is my other pick. So I'm really liking my pitching staff. Obviously, Schultz, I would again say, like, young pitchers is not exactly the same thing as young hitters as far as, like, it's not as glaring the difference between if a guy gets up at 22, 23 versus 25, 26. But we obviously, we talked about it on the Hot Sheet show today. You did, about how Schultz has taken a step forward this year, that kind of development of that cutter, which gives him, I would say, a pitch that he can be in the zone with more consistently, which lets everything else play, has been a very positive development. I did, last I checked, he was, I think, losing 3-0 when we started recording this. So, but I'm going to go Noah Schultz there, and that kicks it back to you for two spots.
Ooh, so I'm going to fill my third base spot here. Though he's been the worst of the three available third basemen, actually, there's only two available because I can't take Nick York. And actually, I can't take Tanner Murray. So this is really my only option at third base, JJ. And that is Kaz Okamoto. He struck out way more than I had anticipated. And he's done it with fairly
great first week.
With fairly neutral luck.
But
he has played third base, and I think that he will turn it around. I think the skills are there. I think it's just, you know, there's an adjustment period for any of these Japanese players that come over, even culturally. I know that's something that, you know, Tatsuya Amai, who's now in the IL, had spoke about a little bit, like adjusting to the game and adjusting to life off the field.
I believe it was some form of, I have not yet adjusted to pitching in the U.S. and the off-field life. And again, one of the things is it's a big adjustment.
And I'm sure that Tokyo and Houston are very different places.
I feel very, very confident about that. But okay, so you have cornered, which as I expected, you have not gotten Amai yet, but you have cornered the Japanese hitter market for this rookies.
I may have to take Amai because I am blocked from taking Parker Messick because of DeLauder.
That's why I haven't taken Parker Messick yet, but he will be one of mine probably.
I figured it was like, if I have to take one of my two boys, I'm gonna lean with Chase. Sorry, Parker.
It's either that or I'm gonna take Juan Brito because you can't take Juan Brito either.
No, I'm also blocked from taking Rhett Lauder. So my next pitcher is a guy that hasn't pitched a ton, but he's one of the newest top 100 prospects, JJ. He's technically in the minors now, but did pitch in the big leagues. Now, can I count him as a starter because he did not.
I will give you that Didier Fuentes can be a starter.
Okay. Then I'm going to take Didier Fuentes and I'm going to plug him in as a starter.
You could put him as a reliever if you wanted to, but you can put him as a
starter. We've got the flexibility to do that. We'll fill the starter spot, and then if we have to, we'll move him over to reliever.
I believe Didier did start. He did start, like, to follow this. Sal Stewart is, you know, started third base last year. Fuentes started in the majors last year, if I remember correctly. So
yes, he did.
He's a starter. He counts as a starter. Okay. Back to me. I'm not going to fill my relief pitching spot. I think that that's one that I can kind of, you know, I can't even take Parker Messick, really. Because I've already filled three starter spots. So we only have three. Rhett Lauder sitting on the board for me. Oh, wait. Wait a second. Has Connelly Early ever thrown a relief inning? Because if so, because I haven't taken Bubba Chandler yet either. We may have to add another starting pitcher to this for both of us. But okay.
for you.
yeah, not for you. Okay. I'm going to take, again, because he is one that you still could take, I'm taking Justin Crawford for the Phillies, and I'm going to put him in center for now. Mm-hmm. He can play both, but I'm going to put him mainly. I like Crawford. I like Crawford probably more than most. Yes, if you want to tell me that he hits the ball on the ground a lot, I 100% that is true. That can work. It does limit his impact. But if you're going to have one of those guys, have a guy who hits 300 every year, and that's what Justin Crawford does. I mean, I'm someone who's basically I kind of like this profile. I think more. I'm a Chandler Simpson's biggest fan. So, you know, Justin Crawford has way more power than Chandler Simpson. Chandler Simpson is hitting 411 coming into the day, if I will note, and playing much better defense as well. So, okay, so I'm going to take Justin Crawford. And now I am going to take Juan Brito at second because I don't really like my other choices. That is where we are kind of running out of players right now is – I was eyeing Nick York. I think I'm good. I'm going to go with Juan Brito, and, you know, again, who is up and could be a very long-term productive player for the Guardians or for somebody.
Absolutely. I feel like I'm drafting these teams exactly the way I draft fantasy teams, JJ, which is I load up on hitters and I shop in the bargain bin for pitch. I get one ace and then I shop for bargains on the pitching side. All right. Is it my
two pick? It's your turn. You get two.
All right. I am going to actually pivot a little bit. I'm not going to take Amai because I've been very concerned by the early looks. He had one great start and injuries, other things, the adjustment stuff. I'm going to gamble here because he's been pretty bad. One of the worst rookie starting pitchers. I'm going to take Brandon Spring. I believe in the Brewers' ability to sort of get this guy's skills and stuff to translate. It's a really deep arsenal. They're going to hone in on the right things, and I think they're going to get him good. So I'm kind of excited for what Sproat could be by the end of the season, especially if he stays healthy. So I'm not concerned about the early struggles, JJ. So that will be my first pick this round. I know I still have that center field spot that's easy to fill. I have a corner outfield spot, and I have a relief pitching spot left.
Could take a starter because Fuentes can go either way.
That's true. I could also take a starter. I could take Tatsuya Mai and plug him in there if I wanted to. But
you don't want to.
I don't want to. And I feel like I probably should hold off into the last round before I take Carson Benge. But I'm going to do myself a favor here. And I think I'm going to take Carson Benge and I'm going to plug him in at center. I know that he's kind of underproduced a little bit this season.
Neither of us are worried.
Yeah, I think the 161 batting average on balls in play, the underlying skill stuff looks good. You go and look at if you're a StatCast slider guy, he's got all the red sliders. So I think that will turn around once again, and I'm not concerned at all. He would have gone way earlier had you not taken Nolan McClain.
And what I would also say with this is, yes, I completely agree. You're being strategic. And what I would also say with this is much like we talked about Connor Griffin, the guys who are kind of making the bigger jump, them having a little bit more of an acclimation period is not shocking either. Mm-hmm. So you took Sproat and you took Carson Benge. Comes back to me, and I've got two picks, and I've got three spots left to do. Okay. The worst one left for me just being completely clear about it, is first base. Because there's not a whole lot of... So I'm going to slide Basayo to first base. I'm going to do that. And then that kind of opens it up. And then, having done that, I mean, to be honest, we are getting low. There is not a ton of bats out here, period, at this point. We've gone through most of them. But I'm going to take Jefferson Cuero and make him my DH. Now, that's an unusual DH. I will admit I am cornering the market in catchers. But I just like the long-term possibilities with Cuero. I do hope his arm fully comes back. Did not last year, has not so far this year, it seems like, from post the shoulder injury. But he has been up this year. He hopefully still is going to have a very long, productive career. So that gives me one. And now... You have taken a Cardinal. I have not. Basically, you know what? Like, okay. The other thing I did is I took Brito. I could have taken Carson Williams, and looking back on it, maybe I should have done that. But I'm going to take Nathan Church for my outfield spot because I kind of like his bat better than really much else that's left at this point. I can't take Dylan Beavers. You can. I can't.
So that's the tricky thing, JJ, is two of the next picks I'd like to make are both Orioles. Now, I'm going to be smart, JJ, and I am going to take Dylan Beavers for my last corner outfield spot. The other guy I was thinking about was Anthony Nunez, who's been phenomenal in relief to date.
I will tell you that was going to be my relief pick. That's coming up.
I have another relief pick that I'm going to take. And this is my last pick. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Bradley Rodriguez of the Padres.
Right. Bradley Rodriguez.
It is the Brad with a G-L-E-Y Rodriguez. He's been really good across seven appearances so far. You know, like less than a walk per nine, close to 10 strikeouts per nine. You know, Carlos hates that I'm going to be using those numbers, but I think with relievers, it's fine. And I think he's only allowed one earned run so far on the season. So he looks pretty good. I'm kind of excited about it. The stuff's always been good. Remember filling in for a couple of Padres lists. And I think I might have actually put him onto the Padres list a few years ago for the first time. So I think Rodriguez is an interesting name.
So that is your team filled out. I'm going to go with Anthony Nunez with the Orioles to wrap up my team. The wonderful story of a shortstop was drafted, then went back to college, and then became signed as a pitcher, and here he is in the big leagues. Mets development success story, traded to the Orioles at the deadline last year. It's been really good so far. I kind of think I would say
another Oriole though.
Oh, I really do have an Oriole. I do. I have Basayo. I can't take him.
That's why you couldn't take Beavers.
Yeah, I can't take him.
You can't take him. I'm glad he got a shine, though. He deserved his shine in this moment, regardless of whether he can be taken in this draft or not.
Okay. I'm going to have to really scramble a little bit here because there are not a whole lot of pitchers who I really want to take. You took Bradley, who's been good. I should take Peyton Paulette, the Rule 5 pick, but no. I should take Carter Baumler, the Rule 5 pick, but no.
You going to go with Cody Lawyerson?
I mean, this is a thin group. Let's just be clear here. You know, like.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, I don't have a giant yet, so I'll go Caleb Killian.
Okay. There we go.
Okay. We will say here, guys we left out. We'll cover that really quickly. We only could take one per team. I screwed up. If I had it to do over again, I would have taken Bubba Chandler over Connelly early. That was my screw up because I then blocked it by taking Schultz, and all three of those guys are purely starters. Can't put them in the reliever. you mentioned Parker Bestick.
Bubba had a relief appearance?
Huh?
I think Bubba had a relief appearance last year.
Okay. If Bubba had a relief appearance, then that's his.
I'm gonna double check. I'm almost positive his debut might have been a relief appearance.
Yep, he had three. Bubba Chandler is my reliever.
Hey.
Thank you.
No problem.
That makes it better. That makes it pick.
We play in saves holds leagues and points leagues that have relief starting pitcher eligibility. So I knew all those guys like in the middle of March.
So let's just try to go through real quick. Guys who we left out, I would say that Rhett Lauder, you know, yep. Again, I just ran out of starters. I would have happily taken him.
Sure.
Foster Griffin hadn't been bad. I wasn't going to take him, but Foster Griffin has not been bad. Hitter-wise, anyone that was left out there that you're like, oh, I wish I'd have had a chance? I could have, like I said, Carson Williams. I could have taken Carson Williams and moved Freeland to second, moved McGonigal to third, and put Williams at short. Still a little worried about the bat, though. And
yeah, I don't know if there's anybody like hitting wise. I mean, certainly there were pitchers. I would have taken Lauder, others, as I had mentioned, but was blocked for those guys. Parker Messick being another one that, you know, I wish I had an opportunity to take. But yeah, I think like overall on the hitting side, no. I mean, I honestly love my lineup.
I feel like so obviously. I'm going to run through these real quick for the podcast listeners. So Jeff's team, catcher Moises Ballesteros, first baseman Sal Stewart, second baseman J.J. Weatherholt, shortstop Connor Griffin, third baseman Kaz Akimoto, corner outfielders Chase DeLauder and Dylan Beavers, center fielder Carson Binge, DH Munetaka Murakami, starting pitchers Andrew Painter, Didier Fuentes, Brandon Sproat, and reliever Bragley Rodriguez. My team, Carter Jensen at catcher, Samuel Basayo at first, Juan Brito at second, Kevin McGonigal at short, Alex Freeland at third, Owen Casey in the corner with Dathan Church, Justin Crawford in center, Jefferson Cuero at DH, and a starting rotation of Nolan McClain, Connolly Early, Noah Schultz with Bubba Chandler blowing gas out of the bullpen. Let us know in the comments or send an email to jjcooper@baseballamerica.com if you have thoughts, or send up, you know, on our comments on our baseballamerica.com page for the podcast of which one you think has drifted better here, who's got the better team. And we're going to do this for prospects who have not yet played in the major leagues this year right after this quick break.
Kratz, the world has a cord problem, wires everywhere. It's 2026 and it is time to get a
Ridge Wallet 5-in-1. It's not a wallet, it's a charger. Look at this thing. It sticks to your phone. You push the button, it charges your phone while you can charge two different items at the same time. Oh, and don't forget, while it's charging, you got a little lean-to, John. That'll help it sit right there. Appreciate your Ridge Wallet. This is so nice.
Which is great for me. If I'm at the airport, I'm watching a game, I can charge five devices and then I can just watch something on the phone. Of course, they still have the wallets that are money too. And we know the code. It's nice and simple. It's FOUL, F-O-U-L. One thing to pack, five ways to power. You can find Ridge's power bank at Best Buy, or our listeners can get 10% off at Ridge.com by using code FOUL at checkout. Head to Ridge.com, use code FOUL, and you're all set. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support FT and tell them we sent you.
So, Jeff, we're back. And now we are going to do the same thing, but with like a little bit of a tweak. Prospect team, we're going to make it a little harder on ourselves. We don't want to just recite the top 100 in order or anything like that. So, same idea, one player per org per team. Six top 100 prospects per team. So you have to ration out. You're going to be picking 14 players, but you're only going to get six top 100. So you've got to make sure. And that is the top 100 as we are recording this tonight. So like a Didier Fuentes who just went on, Juan Valera counts. Juan Valera just joined the 100. So Juan Valera counts. One change here. We're going to do, I said on the graphic there, three starting pitchers, one reliever. No, we're not going to pick a reliever for the prospect team. We're going to pick, we'll pick five starters. So. And you must have played the position. So Jesus Mate pictured here. You can play him at second, short, or third, but you can't play someone even if they're projected to eventually move to a position if they've never played it. So, and you cannot have played in the majors this year. Jonah Tong, eligible. Noah Schultz, because of tonight, not eligible. So, I believe you picked first in the first draft. So I will pick first in this one. And I think if you're watching on the YouTube channel and you see the graphic here, you probably have an idea. I think that this is probably the easiest decision out there. I'm taking Jesus Mate as my number one pick. The guy who is the best prospect remaining in the minors has had a great start to the season at Double A. I would say, you know, showing it from both sides of the plate. He's just a special, special prospect. He will be our number one prospect right after Connor Griffin graduates. I don't think there's even like, I'm sorry, we could try to create false suspense on that. There's no suspense. We know it. So that is the case. That is my number one pick. And Jeff, you get to take two.
So I'm gonna stay in line with the top 100 here and clear out our top five. And I'm going to take Walker Jenkins. He's hitting the ball harder, not necessarily at great angles. I'll deal with that later. We got the skills here. We got the actual, you know, EVs, raw power is finally showing up. I'm going to trust the process here. And, of course, I took Chase DeLauder. I'm going to take Jenkins. I love my injured outfielders, apparently, JJ. So Jenkins is going to be my first pick, which will block me from a lot of good Twins players in this top 100, frankly, that are exciting. But, you know, I'm willing to do that. My next pick, and before I send it back to you, he's already got the big money, hasn't debuted yet. Colt Emerson, shortstop, plug it in for me. I'm one of the high guys internally on Emerson. I love the changes that he made at the plate last year, getting to more power. Bat was through the zone even longer. He's always had the plate skills. I think he's a pretty good mover. Maybe not going to be the best defensive shortstop that's going to get drafted in this draft, but guy that I think can stick at the position or at very least be a very strong second or third baseman long-term.
So I'm going to put, by the way, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, I'm putting top 100 prospects in italics. So each of us gets six of those. That is three picks. That is three top 100 prospects. I'm guessing that most of the top 100 prospects are going to go first. Maybe we'll get strategic on this. So this one's going to be really fun because I'm trying to quickly calculate, because like you said, you took a Mariner. There's a lot of other interesting Mariners. Like I will tell you right now, Ryan Sloan is probably going to be he's going to be a Cooperstown bound player. My team.
And you got Kate Anderson as a choice too. You can go righty or lefty. You got
righty or lefty,
whatever you prefer.
So, but at the same time, I'm leaving a lot of Brewers for you, obviously. I think I am going to start by going with Seth Hernandez. I know he's a little ways away. I also know I'm very much a fan of what we've seen so far. We kind of said that we thought there was a pretty good chance that he could just be too good for the FSL. I think so far what we're seeing is he looks like he's too good for the FSL and may have to be bumped up before too long. So that's my first pitcher off the board. There are a lot more that can be taken. See, it's funny, like I'm not just going straight off the order because there are guys where I'm like, okay, if
100%.
I'm taking,
100%, I understand.
So, see, this is where this gets really tough. I actually, you know what? I will stay, though, pretty close to chalk for now. Because there's not really, I don't feel as much of that there's another Tiger I want.
Oh. So,
Max Clark is coming off the board.
That was my next pick. That was my next, because I looked at it and I was like, I don't really care about, we talked about Rainer at the top of the show. I'm worried about the swing. Maybe
I'm not taking Jose Briseño.
And I'm not going to take Jose Briseño. Perhaps that's one. I'm also going to pivot away from something I said to you pre-show about taking Blake Burke at first base. I got another first baseman. I didn't think about it, but I have another first baseman. So when you come back to me, I'll make my couple of picks.
Well, it's back to you. You got two picks.
There we go. So my next pick, I would have gone Clark and then Peyton Tolley. I actually think that based on the early returns in AAA, there's now a case to be made that Tolley, I think there's a real chance he could be better than Treya Savage long term. If the secondaries continue to tick up like this, less of an injury track record, a lot less injury concerns when Tolley was drafted than when he was Savage. Still love you, Savage. Could end up back on my team. I am going to take Peyton Tolley there at my first pitching spot. So already filled that one up. The next guy I'm going to take here is my first Los Angeles Dodger. And there's a lot of outfielders that you can pick from with the
Yes. Dodgers. I'm happy just taking your leftovers when it comes to Dodgers outfielders. I'll be good.
Well, yeah, because there's two in the top 20. So it's just about, you know, what do you want? I already got Walker Jenkins in center field. I'm going to take Jose DePaula. Just the idea of Josue DePaula, Walker Jenkins, and Colt Emerson in the middle of a lineup, that's a tough group to strike out. Going to walk a lot. And there's some power upside there as well. I feel really good about how this team's going to age in 3 or 4 years and how the middle of that order is going to look. So going with Josue DePaula here.
So you've taken two outfielders. I have one. I have a shortstop. You have a shortstop. We both have one starting pitcher. Okay. Now I'm going to put the first wild card pick here. Okay. I'm going to take Tanner Franklin. And the reason I'm taking Tanner Franklin here is, now it does leave a good catcher for you, but taking Tanner Franklin, I feel like, is a very good non-top 100 player. So we only get six top 100 players. I feel like Tanner Franklin is one of the best pitchers not currently on the top 100. So I'm gonna shake it up a little bit, go in that direction, because I've already taken three top 100 players, and you know I only have so many. So I'm gonna take Tanner Franklin. That gives me one pitcher. And I'm going to take Bryce Eldridge now, which does leave you, if you want, Joswar. But
that was one of the reasons that I didn't take Eldridge last pick. Plus, there's another first baseman I like.
So I've got Bryce Eldridge. I took Tanner Franklin. I have used four of my top 100 players now. But I do feel like Bryce Eldridge, first base is a position where there's not a ton of guys. You have someone that you like, but there's not a ton of guys.
No. Agree with that. If it's back to me, I am actually going to plug in my first baseman now. I'm going to take Ralphie Velasquez. I just really believe in the bat.
I thought about him too.
I think Ralphie can really hit. So there's no reason for me not to sort of jump in with both feet at this point with Ralphie Velasquez. So he's going to be my first baseman, and I'm going to fill my catcher spot as well. You kind of talked about it. I'm going to take Reynald Rodriguez. I'm not going to get silly here. I know I got Joswar and some other guys that are going to be available to me. So I'm going to take Rodriguez. I'll plug him in at catcher for now, but could certainly move him to DH at any point in time or first base.
So this is where this does get tricky. Is again, this is going to be fun because we're going to have to each pick like half a player from like half of the different rosters, and we're having to go off of the top 100 as well. And to be honest, like I'm kind of a little focused on getting my non-top 100 players, maybe too much. We'll see if that ends up being a fool's errand for me. But with that being the case, I've got two picks here, right? I'm going to move Mate to third because he can play there. I'm going to put Daniel Pierce, who we already talked about, a non-top 100 shortstop, who I think is a could be on the top 100 before too long. And I am going to take Justin Gonzalez in the corner, in a corner outfield spot. And again, so that to me, I feel really good about. I feel like I got three guys who are not far off the top 100, but don't quite count as top 100 players for me. And now I will say, the other thing I just did there, though, by taking Justin Gonzalez, who I like as a pick, but I just gave you, you already had Peyton Tolley, so I didn't, but we're leaving a lot of pitchers on the board. You know,
a ton. Yeah. We can't take Ianson. We can't take Witherspoon. We can't take Valera. If we were saucy enough to want Marcus Phillips, can't take Marcus Phillips.
So, okay. So those are my two picks. It is back to you.
All right. So I can't take Eli Willits because I already have six top 100 prospects. So I've already cleared that barrier. I'm going to take a guy that I'm kind of obsessed with a little bit. I think he could be a top 100 prospect if he continues to hit. And that's Devin Fitzgerald. I just need to double check right now if he's played third base this season. I believe that he has played, he's only played second base this season, but did play third base last season. Does it have to be this season?
Third base last season counts, because especially for a guy like him.
For now, we'll put him over at third base, and I will plug in my binky here, Devin Fitzgerald. I'm going to fill my final outfield spot as well. And I really don't have to worry about blocking myself with any other Astros. So I'm going to take Kevin Alvarez here. Really interesting young bat. Came off the DSL last year, skipped the Florida Complex League, and is now in low A. Saw him a little bit on the backfields as well. Actually in a game with Devin Fitzgerald. So an interesting combination there, too, of my breakout team players from this offseason. But I'm blocked from any of my breakout team pitchers, one of which you have. And then others, I have a player from every one of those teams, Juan Valera being one.
Okay. So you take Devin Fitzgerald and Kevin Alvarez, the Nationals short infielder who's playing third base for you, and the Astros outfielder. So you cannot take a top 100 prospect now. So I can just be verbal about it. So Treya Savage and Ryan Sloan are going to be mine, but they'll be my last picks, because as long as I don't do something stupid where I block myself by taking a Blue Jay or a Mariner, they're mine. So they're going to be mine down the road. So, okay, I will file that away for now. But that also means effectively, like, Leo DeVries is not getting picked. I would, you know, well, that's actually the thing. I could also decide, do I want to take Leo DeVries? I've also got to check, did Leo DeVries ever play? Has he played a game other than shortstop? No, he has played nowhere other than shortstop. What about Daniel Pierce? Let's see. In his very brief career, he has played third base for one game. Thank you, Daniel Pierce. Okay. I'm just going to get this one cleared out so I don't, you know, screw this up. I'm going to move Pierce to third base, Mane to second, and I am going to take Leo DeVries. It's just too good of a, like, it's too good of a player to leave on the board, a young shortstop like that. So that does mean I can only get one of the pitchers I wanted, Ryan Sloan or Treya Savage. I'll figure that out later. But now I need to really kind of go into the non-top 100 world. And by the way, my sleeper non-top 100 catcher is off the board for me, because that would have been Nathan Flewelling, which would have been, I thought, a nice kind of like a, you know, later round kind of guy. And but that's not something I can do now.
Not an option.
Not an option. So, okay. So now we really do get into kind of like our guys and kind of stuff like that, right? Like guys like, so, okay, I've got to find a catcher I like who's a non-top 100 prospect. I need a corner outfielder and then a number, like, again, a couple of starters, three starting pitchers, but I've got one already filed away. So, okay, I'm going to take one of your cheese balls here. I'm going to take David Hageman with the D-backs.
There you go. Was going to one of my next two picks as I was going to fill in.
So, again, especially it's also strategic. Hageman is a non-top 100 prospect and also a D-back. There's not as many D-backs who I'm really looking at. So that one feels good to me for that reason.
All right. Is it my pick or you have one more?
I did DeVries and Hageman.
Okay. My first pick is going to be Gage Wood. Not a top 100 prospect, but pretty close. Also, I'm not terribly worried about any other Phillies or missing out there. You know, I can't take Aiden Miller because he's a top 100 prospect. I'm going to end up going with him. And also, one of the reasons that we had talked about Blake Burke is maybe like my non-top 100 first baseman. I think he's really good. I think he's interesting. So I kind of held off on a Brewer. But the reason that I pivoted to Ralphie was because there's a lot of interesting pitchers in this Brewers farm system that are off the top 100. But I can't take Sproat, who I took in the rookie draft. Logan Henderson would have been rookie draft eligible as well. I can't take him. Bishop Letson is a top 100 prospect, so I can't take Bishop Letson. So I'm a little bit limited, but there are a few guys in this system that are kind of personal cheese balls of mine. So I'm going to go with Tyson Harden here. This was a breakout I really hammered, was all over last year, was a JUCO guy, pitched in relief at Mississippi State, wasn't very good. His first year, second year was a little bit better. Brewers kind of figured some stuff out here with Harden. It's kind of like this perfect storm of a Brewers guy with interesting pitch traits and kind of needed to be developed as a starter. They have the best finishing school, I think, in the minors. So Tyson Harden is going to be my second pitcher there as I start to fill in these starters.
So I'm trying to manage to balance kind of the, okay, make sure I typed it in, but also I'm sitting here looking at my picks and all that. Cause you know, the funny thing about it is that this actually does get pretty challenging pretty quickly now because like of what you just said, which is we're kind of locking out some teams. Okay. Because you're trying now, I do have a DH spot, but I need a DH, an outfielder, and a catcher. I do feel like the catcher is the trickiest one for me. Is finding a catcher I really like who's not a top 100 prospect.
Or on a team you haven't taken yet. Because I think
A team I haven't taken yet.
Caden Bodine is somebody that I've thought about as a catcher. I still might and maybe move Reynel Rodriguez to DH. But you can't take him because of Daniel Pierce.
I can't take him.
As a real deal, like everyday catcher that can hit enough and really play the position, handle pitching staff, Caden Bodine's pretty dang good.
So, okay. I'm really looking here at my catchers. And kind of what you just said, it really is challenging for that reason. And not only that, but I already have a Cardinal because the Cardinals have a nice mix of non-top 100 catchers, but not, you know, I like Luke Stevenson a little bit, but I'm not taking him to take away my chances at taking Ryan Sloan. Ethan Salas is a top 100 prospect. I'm not taking him. I'm kind of talking this through while I'm looking because it's like, Eduardo Tait is not a top 100 prospect, also may not be a catcher. But I got to file that one away as a possibility. Gabriel Davalio. I'm sorry. I just can't go for that. No. Not right now.
You just became Daryl Hall there.
I did. I'll go for this. I'm kind of more of the sidekick, you know? Okay. You know what? I'm going completely off the board. Nope. I already have a tiger. I can't take Michael Oliveto. This is going to be challenging. I don't have a guardian. Cooper Engel is my pick. So that's a close to the majors catcher. I wanted to get that one cleared because that was really stressing me out. I can find an outfielder, but that one was really stressing me out. It's difficult to find. Having cleared that, I think I'm now going to go. This is actually easier. I'm going to take Tyson Lewis as my DH for now.
Great pick.
Again, a not too far off of the top 100 guy. I don't have a red, so there we go. Back to you.
All right, I'm going to double
up. You need two starters and a second baseman and a DH.
So I'm going to double up on a couple of lefties here. You know, I already got two righties. You got a lefty at the top. Left-handed pitching, more valuable. If you look at the numbers right now in the big leagues, I really like Wei-Yin Lin. I think that he's a really interesting arm that's just off the top 100. Has a lot of high-level experience, too. Not only the WBC, but also, you know, reaching double-A at such a young age. He's still only 20 years old, has good size. Maybe doesn't have a ton of power. I think that will come. It's only a couple ticks that he needs. And also the translation of velocity from the right-handed side to the left-handed side. You can give up a couple of ticks. And he's got good secondary stuff. Mark Chiarelli, one of our primary editors, does a phenomenal job covering the Pirates, but also the Athletics. He's got a 55 in the fastball, 55 in the curveball, 55 in the changeup, and 60 command. I like that. I think that can translate. And then I'm going to take another one of my cheese balls who I've written about quite a bit, and that's Christian Oper, another left-hander from the White Sox here. Don't have a White Sox yet. You know, I was hoping that they had stuck Billy Carlson at second base for a little bit, but they did not. So that made my decision pretty simple. I'm going to go with two lefties here, kick it back to you, and then I got to figure out where I'm going to find my second baseman.
Okay. I got a corner outfielder. I don't need to worry about you taking a corner outfielder. I'm going to clear my pitchers off. So Ryan Sloan, who's I said, you know what? Actually, I don't have a Blue Jay. I'm going to go Trey Savage. As much as I love Ryan Sloan, I'm going to take the guy who's already done in the big leagues, worked his way back. But, you know, that I feel really good about that. And I just had my other starter in my head. And now I've got to remember who it was. That's very frustrating. That really is frustrating because I did have it. I had it in my head before. Oh, I know who it is. And now I'm going to take the roll of the dice. I'm going to take a chance. I'm going all in, and I've got a pair of tens, and I'm going to see, but I'm liking what I'm going to see on the flop here. Because I'm taking Kevin DeFrank of the Marlins, who, if it all
pretty cool one,
if it all breaks, like that could really be impressive. A long ways away, there's risk there, but you want to have a little fun with your last pitching pick, and that's one I'm feeling really. And again, it's a Marlin. I didn't have a Marlin, so back to you for your final pick.
Yeah, so I'm gonna actually adjust my lineup a little bit here, JJ, and we're gonna move Devin Fitzgerald to second base. He's played second base. Mm-hmm. This year has played second base, so that's fine. Moving him to second, I'm going to go with one of my cheese balls from the breakout game and the Yankees Braves breakout game. That's a game you go to, JJ, and you don't expect to see a whole lot of exciting stuff. I did see George Lombard.
You did not expect to see a whole lot of exciting stuff.
No, I did see George Lombard look bad, who now looks phenomenal. He's a top 100 prospect, so we can't take him, but a guy that could have gone in this draft and probably would have been a pretty dang good pick. I'm going to go with John Heel. That's G-I-L. It's Heel.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's said. He's played some third base, not this year, but the previous 2 years, he has played some third base. He's hitting pretty well to start the season in high A as well. Batting average is .233, whatever. .351 on base percentage, .433 slug. It's a 21.6% K rate to date. It's only 8 games, so their rate stats are kind of silly, but a 16.2% walk rate. He's got 2 home runs and 9 stolen bases. I think he's a really exciting player, actually, and have brought him up as maybe a guy that's more like 125 to 150, 175, but not too far off the top 100, for me at least. I think he's a really good player. So we're going to go with one of my binkies here, kind of solve my problem. And that just leaves me a DH at this point, which is like free space. So,
you got another pick. So who's your DH?
Ooh, see, I should have probably thought about that before I bragged about having flexibility there. Because now I'm like, oh man, who's the best hitter that I like that's off of the top 100 that has pretty good upsides? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a guy that maybe I knew this when I pushed against you guys putting him on the top 100 yet, because he hasn't debuted stateside. I'm going to go with Juan Sanchez, and I can kind of move him around where I want, because I think he's played some third base and some shortstop. I'm going to take Sanchez, plug him in my DH. I really like the look that I got. I think the bat is legit. I think he's going to hit a lot and probably be in Dunedin within a couple of weeks after the FCL season. Second time I've done that today. FCL season begins. So Juan Sanchez, my last pick, JJ.
Okay. I have not taken a national, and I will take newly minted right fielder Gavin Dean, who we saw, I got to see in the spring breakout game, look really good as a hitter. He was only DH at the time, but he is playing in the outfield now. So he absolutely fits as a corner outfielder. Very excited to add him. I feel good about that one. That's not a last pick where I'm holding my nose. That's the last pick where I'm like, no. Yeah, I feel really good about that one. So
I think we did a pretty good job of picking the outside the top 100 guys. Maybe I took some risks here with Harden. Maybe I could have dug a little more, but it's one of my.
Okay, I think we're going to have to do this again in the second half of the year. That was a lot of fun, and I think it also is instructive. It kind of helps you look at different systems and all that. I hope it's enjoyable to people as it was for us to do it. But to give the rundown of it again, Jeff's team, Raniel Rodriguez with the Cardinals, Ralphie Velasquez with the Guardians, Devin Fitzgerald, now of the Nationals, formerly Rangers, just traded, Colt Emerson of the Mariners, Jan Heel of the Braves, Kevin Alvarez, the Astros, Josue DePaula of the Dodgers, Walker Jenkins of the Twins, Juan Sanchez of the Blue Jays, Peyton Tolley of the Red Sox, Gage Wood of the Phillies, Tyson Harden of the Brewers, Wei-In Lin of the Athletics, Christian Opper of the White Sox. For me, Cooper Engle of the Guardians at catcher, Bryce Eldridge at first base, the Giants, Jesus Mate at second, Leo DeVries with the A's at short, Daniel Pierce with the Rays at third base, Gavin Fien of the Nationals, corner outfielder, as is Justin Gonzalez of the Red Sox, Max Clark in center for the Tigers, Tyson Lewis of the Reds at DH, Seth Fernandez of the Pirates at starting pitchers, Tanner Franklin of the Cardinals, David Hageman of the D-backs, Treya Savage of the Blue Jays, and Kevin DeFrank of the Marlins are these other starting pitchers. Okay, before we wrap this up, couple of guys, like, again, we're not even going to go through that many top 100 guys. Like, we could, like, there was a lot of guys blocked, right? Because, I mean, we didn't take Josuar Gonzalez. Like, I wanted to take Josuar Gonzalez. I wanted to take Johnny Level. You could take one Giant. I wanted to take Brody Hopkins. You can take one Ray. You know, there's so many players. I will say, Kendry Churio, I wanted, I don't think a Royal went. I very much wanted to take Kendry Churio, but I was blocked on top 100. I didn't want to take him over Treya Savage. Anyone jump out? Any team that we left out that was like, oh, I wanted to take so-and-so, but.
Yeah, I think we didn't take any Yankees, and I think, like, George Lombard's a legitimate pick. I think Carlos Legrand is a legitimate pick. And they even have some interesting pitchers I thought about, like Ben Hess, just off of the top 100 as well. So. I think those are some guys that kind of stick out to me off the top of my head, and especially on the top 100 side, there's a ton.
I was circling around AJ Ewing and Jacob Reimer, both of the Mets, sure. at kind of thinking that through. I really wanted to take Merrick Houston of the Twins, but I kind of had filled my I like him. I don't like him better than Leo DeVries. I'll put it that way. Although it would allow me to take him. I know you talked about taking Blake Burke at first base. I'm kind of surprised that Joe Mack didn't go, but again, we each can only, you know, you were kind of, you took Raniel Rodriguez, which I would have taken over Mack as well. I wanted Mack, but I also wanted Kevin DeFrank. And I also didn't want him. I didn't want to take another top 100 guy there. It is amazing that only one Dodgers outfielder went. But really what that came down to, I looked at Charles Davelin, but I didn't want, you know, I didn't want to spend my top 100 picks there. So
sure.
That's where I think that the way we kind of created this system by limiting it made it much more strategic, I think, than it would have been. And hopefully, again, hopefully a lot of fun. Again, with this, please let us know which team you think. You feel free to tell me that I picked a terrible team. Don't tell Jeff that. No, just tell Jeff that.
You know, can tell me that. That's fine.
But tell us what you think. Tell us if you think that we screwed up by not taking somebody who was an obvious pick. We're open to hearing that as well. But that is the Baseball America Prospect Podcast. We ended up doing that for an hour and 10 minutes. That was fun.
It felt like 40 minutes, too.
It did.
It felt like a shorter podcast. I was shocked that it's been an hour and 10.
It really did. But check everything out at baseballamerica.com. So much this week. We have, as you're looking at this, listening to this, we are rolling out today state lists. So our high school recruiting coverage and our draft coverage with that for the draft is getting way bigger tomorrow. So, or today as you listen to this. So check that out. So much over at baseballamerica.com. For Jeff, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.